Again, let's take up our Bibles, please. And this morning we're not really going to be staying with one particular text, but we're going to be looking at various texts this evening. Let's turn first of all to 1 John 2, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. We're going to be looking at some aspects tonight of the Christian soldier. And once we're saved, we're in a battle. And it's good to understand some things about the way we are to be and to live and to fight, how we are to fight as Christian soldiers. We're facing many spiritual battles. So first of all, we need to understand that we have a threefold enemy. We'll look at that and then we'll go to prayer. 1 John chapter 2 and reading from verse 15 through to 17, the Bible reads, "Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So one of our enemies that we have is the world. Okay? It allures us, tempts us. Also, Romans and chapter 7, please. Romans and chapter 7. And verse 18. It's the Apostle Paul here speaking. He says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." And you don't have to turn there, but also says in Galatians 6:8, it says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." So not only do we have the world as one of our enemies, but also the flesh, that which is in us, that which is anti-God, that which always desires to fulfill and to seek for its own fulfillment, okay? And is only interested in self, not interested in God, only from the aspect, if there is any desire, it's only that it would come back and feed itself. Also, 1 Peter and chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 8 to 9. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." So we have a threefold enemy. Christian has the world, the flesh, and the devil, which would all three seek to drag the Christian down, bring it to the Christian to a place of defeat, and to a place where they are not able to do that which God would have them to do, not able to really go forward in their Christian life and to be of good use. And we need to look at some various aspects tonight of the Christian soldier. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you for your precious word and thank you, Lord, for its depths. And Father, thank you that the ability to fight and to live the Christian life does not come from ourselves but comes from you. Please give us wisdom as we look on these various scriptures, Father, tonight, different ones, and pray that you would help us to mine out that which is true, Lord, and to not say dogmatically, Lord, things which we are not sure of, but simply to go with what we know to be true here tonight, Father, and that you would speak to our hearts and refresh us, strengthen us, and give us blessed hope this evening. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Right, we're going to shift again, 2 Timothy 2. We're looking at multiple passages tonight. 2 Timothy 2 and verses 1 to 3. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And this is the Apostle Paul here, and he's speaking to Timothy, his son in the faith. And he says to him, "Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And you know, when we get saved, we're very joyful and we know the joy of the Lord, and it's so wonderful to be saved. But we don't necessarily think that we're going to have to endure hardness. And we don't necessarily think about the fact that there is going to be battles to be fought and that there is going to be hardships and trials. And here the Apostle Paul says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But we can maybe perhaps be naive sometimes. What could possibly go wrong? Is there going to be any sort of issue? What would there be? You know, we're just so happy and joyful. But the Christian life is a battle, and we will not get through it without adversity. Okay, now the Lord Jesus promised that he'll be with us until the end of the age, and it's going to be by his power and by his grace, but we will not get through it without adversity. And sometimes we would like to avoid it. There's a military base in Singleton, and from what I understand, there must be a railway line nearby. And some of the diggers who've had enough try to use the goods trains going through as a way of escaping their military course. So they must find a place and then go. Maybe they make a run for it and jump on and try to grab hold of one of the carriages. And they try to get out of there so they don't have to endure the military discipline and the difficulties and what they put you through on course. And maybe sometimes it's like that for us. We have to endure hardness and we say, I've had enough and I want to get out of this. And this is really not what I was wanting. I thought it was all going to be smooth sailing, joy and peace. And this is difficult. And I want to get out of it. And sometimes people do, sadly, to a degree, they're in a good fundamental Bible-believing church and they meet some battles and they say, you know what, it's all too hard. Let's go to the user-friendly church down the road and we can sort of get loose and dance and drink and do all these sorts of things. And we'll get it a lot easier. But then they're actually going down the road of defeat, and that's very sad. But God tells us that we are to endure hardness. So how do we do that? Well, what you've got to do, you've got to grit your teeth and you've got to try really hard. No. Doesn't work that way, because the flesh, which is part of one of the other enemies, isn't interested in enduring hardness unless it has some sort of benefit for self, okay? So we see also the Apostle Paul says here, he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And so the strength to endure, the strength to be able to go the distance as a Christian, to be able to go through with the various battles that come from the world, from the flesh, from the devil, all these different things, the power to endure comes from the Saviour. So not only do we have a captain who gives us the directions and gives us the orders, he also gives us the power to accomplish. And that is the difference between being under the new system of grace and the old system of law. The old system has said, do this, do that, and you must do this, and you must do that, and you didn't do it right here, and you must do it like this here, but it never gave you any power. Okay, but the Lord Jesus, he still has even a higher standard than the law, but praise God, he also gives us the power to do the impossible. Also, we see that the Christian soldier is separated. Verse 4 of chapter 2 says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So we see here the separation of the soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And from what I have heard, from what I understand, that the Roman soldiers at the time of Christ were not allowed to be married or involved in business. Now, praise the Lord, we're allowed to be married, and it's not wrong for Christians to be involved with business, but they were not allowed to be involved with those things which would divert their attention from being a soldier. They had to be able to serve as a soldier, and their whole mindset, you could say, and their whole life was consumed with that of being a soldier. And don't we see here that picture for us, that we as soldiers of Christ, we who are now in the army of the Lord, that we should be willing and ready to remove anything in our lives that would entangle us and that would hold us back from being the soldiers of Christ that we should. There's many things which are in and of themselves are not bad, good things, but in the wrong context, the wrong time, which holds us back from being the soldier that God will want us to be. See here the matter of separation. And we see here also in this here that the matter of separation is that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So separation from the world, separation from sin, separation from those things which would hinder us, we do it to please the captain of our salvation. And so it's for a reason. And some people say, no, don't worry about separation, okay? Let's all just join hands in love, okay? We separate because we love the Lord. That's the difference there. And sometimes we have to separate from others, and you say, that sounds unloving. Well, look, we have to love the Lord first and foremost, and others second. Okay, 2 Corinthians 10. Some sword drill tonight for the soldiers. We see that the Christian soldier does not fight in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And you know, it's always a temptation in fighting to not fight by the rules when things get hard. But we see here that a Christian who is walking with God, who is being a good soldier, does not fight after the flesh. The weapons of his warfare are not carnal. We know that Paul said, I have fought a good fight. Okay, he kept the rules by God's grace in the war. Sometimes people try to build the work of God, and it's hard and it's slow, and they say it's not working. So do you know what I think we should do? I think we need to drop all of our standards, and let's not be too concerned about what Bible people use, and let's not divide over doctrine. And then, oh, what do you know? The work of God seems to be building. The place is filling up. There's all these people coming in. We're giving people what they want to hear and telling people what they want to hear. And you know, it looks like it's all working, but they're not fighting a good fight. And they're not going by the rules of the Word of God. And only that which is done by faith will stand when God one day judges our works. It's useless also to try to fight the flesh with the flesh. When we have battles with our internal flesh, sometimes we can try to hold that under control. And we try to fight that battle, and we try to hold down that anger or that bitterness or that lust or that jealousy, whatever it is. We try to hold it down in our lives, but we are trying to fight the flesh with the flesh, and it doesn't work. If anything, it only makes things worse. Paul said in Romans 7:19, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. So the Christian soldier does not fight carnally, okay, but fights by the power of God's Spirit working in him, and does not resort to the flesh to battle with the flesh or with the world or with the devil. Zechariah 4:6, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Power comes from the Saviour, not from ourselves. So a good Christian's power and capacity to fight against the flesh life, to resist temptation, to resist the devil, does not come from the flesh life, but from God. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Also, we see that the Christian soldier fights with spiritual weapons. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians 6. Verse 10 to 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So our war that we are fighting is not a physical one, but a spiritual one. Okay, God does not command the church to take up the sword, so to speak, to convert people. But our warfare rather is one which is spiritual. And therefore, because it's a spiritual warfare, we need spiritual weaponry and spiritual defences as well. So first of all here, we see in the matter of spiritual warfare, here the picture of the soldier of that era of time where it was hand-to-hand fighting with armour and with weapons. This is the picture that is used to explain the sort of weaponry that we as Christians have. Let's see, where am I? Yes. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, the first one there. So here we are dealing with what A.P. Barnes calls the girdle. He says the girdle kept all the parts of the armour in their proper place and preserved firmness and consistency in the dress. Okay, so this is worn down lower here, and it provided, not only would have it probably provided some sort of protection, but also kept the other parts of the armour in their proper place. And when we're dealing with symbolism here, we do need to be careful that we don't sort of take wings and fly off into the never-never. But we could see here, by looking at this, could we not see a picture here of the truth that we have with the Word of God, and we serve a God of truth, and that truth really holds things together, doesn't it? As far as our work and our walk with the Lord. If you don't have the truth, then you don't really have anything, do you? And as soon as the truth of the Word of God gets corrupted, as soon as people start having unbiblical ideas, really our faith and everything that we are fighting for and living for, things are going to break down, aren't they? But praise God, we have the truth. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We serve the God of truth. Also, we see the breastplate of righteousness. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. And the breastplate covered the vital parts of the body and thereby provided protection. And we could perhaps here see a bit of a picture that we are no longer dressed in the filthy rags of our own self-righteousness. We are now dressed in the pure robes of the righteousness of Christ. And when we are assailed by darts of the devil, we need to remember that we are saved and we are accepted with God because of Christ's righteousness. Also, the matter of the gospel of peace, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And now, you might think, is what people wear on their feet, is it really very important? Well, in fighting, yes. If a soldier's feet are damaged, can't walk, can't march, can't stand to fight. But here we have the gospel of peace. And God has commanded us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. And we have a mission. We're to go with this gospel of peace. Also, the shield of faith. And the devil would always seek to undermine our faith in the Lord and lead us astray and cause us to doubt God and his word. But we can quench the devil's darts with our faith in God, with our faith that we have. And when you think about the aspect of the shield being so big and able to cover so much of the body and protect you in a time of fighting, so with our faith we can quench the fiery darts of the devil. You want to understand that the Roman soldiers used to be able to move in a formation where they could practically cover themselves right in with their shields and thereby have this all-round protection. And with ourselves, with our faith in the Lord, we can quench those fiery darts, those darts of doubt that would come to us. The attacks of the devil can be quenched, that we have our faith in our Lord and in our God, and we have been saved. Also, taking the helmet of salvation. And that's quite an important part too, that we have to, for a soldier to have his head protected. But with the matter of this, as far as Christians, without salvation, you don't have anything. And first and foremost, we must be saved. And this gives us a blessed hope. This gives us a real reason, doesn't it, to be able to fight. When we are saved, we know that we are forgiven. We know that we are right with God. And no matter what blow from the enemy comes at us, we can be confident and we can always have hope, no matter of the situation, because we have been saved. Praise God for that. Also, we have the Word of God and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And A.P. Barnes says the sword was an essential part of the armour of an ancient soldier. His other weapons were the bow, the spear, or the battle axe. But without a sword, no soldier would have regarded himself well armed. Okay, and we see in Scripture the Word of God is referred to as being a sword. Okay, not a literal sword, but as a way of describing it, says in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Okay, and how the Word of God is able to really shed light on things, how the Word of God is powerful, okay, and is able to be used in the Christian life. One other wonderful thing that the Word of God can do is the memorization of it, okay, having it go through our minds and in our hearts. And I was doing a bit of that just recently here at church, walking up and down and reciting Scripture. And what a wonderful thing that is to do. If you can take the time to recite Scripture and to have it flowing through your heart and through your mind, and to know the cleansing of that and what that God can do with that in your heart and in your life, I very much recommend that to you. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Word of God is good for every situation that we find ourselves in as a Christian. 2 Timothy 3:16 is that verse. Also, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. A.P. Barnes says, prayer crowns all lawful efforts with success and gives a victory when nothing else would. No matter how complete the armour, no matter how skilled we may be in the science of war, no matter how courageous we may be certain that without prayer we shall be defeated. And how we need to be praying Christians, a praying church, and that we would have God pour out upon us the spirit of prayer. And that wonderful quote that we all probably know, when men work, but when men pray, God works, okay? When men pray, God works. Also, we see that the Christian soldier fights the good fight. 1 Corinthians 9:24 to 27. Says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So fight I not as one that beateth the air. So the Apostle Paul, he fought a good fight. And we see that elsewhere in Scripture where it says, I have fought a good fight, I have kept the faith. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Also 1 Timothy 1:18, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." And yes, 2 Timothy 4:7, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." And so God wants us to fight a good fight, doesn't he? Not to deviate from the path which he has for us. He wants us to do things by his way and by his word. And also, once again, that wonderful truth that the Christian soldier is weak in the flesh, but is strong in the Lord. And we see that in Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews 11 and verse 33 to 34. We'll go from verse 32 actually. "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. And here it is, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." So although we are weak in the flesh, the Christian soldier may be weak and does not have confidence in himself, but we have confidence in our Lord. And that the power to fight, to serve the Lord, comes from the Lord himself. Once again, that scripture from Zechariah 4:6, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Let's fight the good fight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord God, that you not only give us the orders, Father, but you give us the power to execute, Lord. And do just pray that you would take some things that have been said here tonight, Lord, and that you would take them through to our hearts and encourage us and strengthen us, Father, to keep on keeping on by your grace and for your glory. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.